I think we're about ready to go. So welcome everybody back from our little bit of a Yom Tov vacation. So now we're going to be starting from the beginning of Yivamos. We had a shorter than usual Hakdama because just the way the calendar worked, so we only had two Shiurim. But I wanted to start, I know everybody's disappointed, but I guess we'll start from that base, and hopefully we'll fill in some of the other issues that we weren't able to examine more fully. But we got a little bit of a taste, I think, of some of the challenges of Yivamos and some of the issues to keep our eyes open for. Okay, so we'll try as we move on to try to supplement some of the other issues as they come up. So the first topic of the Masechta is the topic of arayos, or erva, in Yibum. And the idea that the makom erva, when you encounter a regular erva, we'll explain what that means exactly, that's part of the issue, there is no din of Yibum and Chalitza. So, again, just to give you a brief taste, the Mishnah starts on the Beis Amin Aleph by saying, Chamesh Esrei Nashim, there are 15 relationships, 15 categories of women, that Potros Tzaroseyen, the Tzaros Tzaroseyen, Minachalitza, Minayibum, Ad Sofa Olam, Veiluhe. And the Mishnah goes on and enumerates them. Now, what this means basically is, let's just remember for a moment that the classic case of Yibum, this is part of the challenge already. That's why Yivamos gets exciting, you know, right from the beginning. The classic case of Yibum is a case of arayos. Because one of the arayos, in the parsha of arayos, is a sister-in-law. Meaning your brother's wife. A brother's wife is one of the arayos. So the idea that erva is ptura, Minayibum, Minachalitza, right, needs to be understood against the background of that stark reality, which is the only case of Yibum that exists, is a case of Yibum, the Erva. So obviously, when we speak about a Ptur Erva, the Yibum, we mean with the exception of that case. But since that's true, it poses kind of a double challenge, an interrelated double challenge, but a double challenge. On the one hand, we need to understand why it is that the erva, which is the classic case of Yibum, is an exception. It has to be, otherwise there's no room for Yibum. Right? That's the whole point. But just because it has to be, is that a sufficient, right? Yeah, otherwise the Masechta is gone, and then we have no Hakdama to Nashim. So the rest of Nashim is gone. So, is it enough to say, well, that's the classical case, and without this case, you know, there is no issue, for example, of Yibum. Tosis Andaf Dawud Amal, if I hope we'll get to it in just a couple minutes, says something like that. We just think that he means more than that. Or is the point something much more profound? And that is that B'makom Yibum, B'makom Mitzvah Yibum, in other words, when a brother dies childless, right, so in those circumstances, that changes the very way that we perceive the relationship to the sister-in-law. In which case, that borders on, or maybe goes well beyond the border, of what we call hutra. Right, the idea there's, we know that sometimes when the Torah's regular dinim clash with some other imperative, right, and it can happen in all sorts of cases. There's an Isur Malacha, right, but there's a mitzvah of Mila. There's an Isur Malacha, but there's a din of Pikuach Nefesh, right? On Yom Tov we have Isur Malacha, but there's a heter of Okal Nefesh, right? Those are three cases that come to mind, and of course there are more. There's Kilayim, and there's Tzitzis. There's again Yisur Malacha once again, and there is the chiyuv to bring karbanos, right, on even on Shabbos. So we know that whenever we have a clash between one din Torah and another din Torah, that there are different perspectives how to resolve that clash. And sometimes we speak a lot about this. Generally speaking, we speak in two terms, but what these terms mean is always debatable. And whether they mean the same thing, as applied to all circumstances, is also debatable. But we use the phrase d'chuya and hutra. And those are useful phrases, even if the exact line or definition is much more complicated, but they're useful as approaches. The d'chuya approach basically says that in Ochanami there is a problem, and there's no way to completely neutralize the problem, meaning if there's a violation, then and there's an urgency to violate it, it doesn't make it less of a violation objectively or intrinsically. It just means that the Torah wants you, it's the lesser of two evils, essentially. And therefore, you violate it to one, but indeed you do violate. It doesn't necessarily make a blight on your permanent record, because you're supposed to violate. But if you act, if you ask the question, is this a ma'isa aveira, is it an intrinsically a chefta shel aveira, the answer is yes. But it's nidcha, literally, it's thrust aside, because there's a greater urgency which overwhelms it. And that's one approach. The other approach is what we call hutra, which means that given these conditions, given these circumstances, this iser doesn't apply. Now, in the more extreme form of that, what we're really saying is, that the circumstances redefine how we look at the iser, not just that, when the two things converge, that convergence strips it from being a ma'isa aveira, but literally it transforms it. And there's a question, when you do a bris milah on Shabbos, do we look at it, in other words, as the overriding imperative of milah allowing you to be mechalel Shabbos, right? Or do we say that chil Shabbos doesn't apply when we're in the context of mitzvah milah? And of course, hetroch nefesh b'yom tov, is a very easy issue, not easy, but it's very easy to chart, right? The question of hutra or dechuya, things like bitoch, the machlokas between beis hillel and beis shammai. In other words, do you really need a tzorech ochel nefesh, or is it malachetz ochel nefesh? Things of this sort. Is it hutra? Is it dechuya? Pikuch nefesh, another great example. The makom, the urgency of pikuch nefesh, right? Of course, that takes precedent, and you're allowed to mechal Shabbos, you're allowed to mechal Yom Tov, or some other Iser, etc. We spoke a little about it last year when we talked about the sugya of Makom Misrapin, Chutz Miatzei Asherah, right? The dinim of Yehari Bal Yavor. So the overriding v'chay bohem v'lo she'el mispahem, or we don't look at it that way. What we say is there's an inner limit in your obligation towards certain mitzvos and isurim, namely kai gavna. There's no isur b'makom pikuach nefesh. So we normally take this perspective that there are two approaches that one could take: the hutra and the dechuya approach. So what I'm saying is when you have this, when you're confronted by, on the one hand, a Mishnah which says chamesh esrei nashim potros tzoraseim the tzoras tzoraseim and achalitzim and ayibim ad sof haolam, that on the one hand, that erva, and we'll see in a moment, is a p'tur of the mitzvah, the hafkah of the chiyuv, and the status of yibum. And at the same time, we know that the classic case is a case of eshes achiv, which is one of the ervas. So, right, there are essentially two ways that you can analyze this problem and related problems as well. One is to say that in Ochanami, this is very perplexing, and it's just that, there's no, the whole purpose of the mitzvah of Yibum is l'hakim l'achiv, shame b'Yisrael, and therefore it's a nidcha, it's a dechuya, and that's what, that's the way to look at the Yisra of Eishes Ach. It's not really fundamentally different than any other erva, even vis-a-vis Yibum, except that the fact that there is no Yibum without violating Eishes Ach, where it's koveya, that it's it has to be nidcha. Or the other way to look at it, and this is what we'll be getting back to, is that in the circumstances, the other extreme, more than hutra even, in the circumstances of meis, achim, b'li, Banim, Lahakin, Lahakin, Shein B'Yisrael, so Eshes Ach is no longer an Erva. Right? It becomes a Chiyuv. It becomes a Mitzvah. The changed circumstances, this is the exact opposite. It's more than Hutra. The changed circumstances take what otherwise would be a terrible, you know, violation, right, a terrible betrayal, right, of the integrity of Ishus and a family, and they turn it pumpakert into a family obligation, right, into a davar shebekedusha. That's the exact opposite. So that's one challenge. That's one issue. How do we look at Yibum and Eshes Ach in this context? The other side of it, you know, I don't know if they're two sides of the same coin, but they're certainly overlapping issue, is that maybe we should be reassessing the question of Arayos being a p'tur of Yibum. Right? How comfortable are we with that idea? Right? Having said that, the Isur of Eshes Ach is at least Nidcha, if not Hutra, Al Yedei, the Mitzvah of Yibum. So in principle, maybe Yibum should have the capacity to override Dinei Erva as well. So why doesn't it? Why won't it? Maybe only because the rules, the general regulations determining priority, right, or how you define, you know, what is the lesser of two evils, works against it in this particular case. And that brings you, and this is going to be very critical to our analysis, that brings you to the whole topic of Aseh, Dochelos Aseh, and the conditions under which we do say or don't say Aseh, Dochelos Aseh. Aseh, Dochelos Aseh, Sheish Bokares, Aseh, Dochelos Aseh, V'ein Aseh, Dochelos Aseh, V'aseh, if you have an Aseh, Analos Aseh, V'aseh is not Doche. What about an Aseh, right, She'enos Shavah L'Kol, being Doche, Alos Aseh, which is Shavah L'Kol, all sorts of rules that determine whether or not you really can override one Iser because of another imperative. So what I'm saying is, this discrepancy between the Erev of Eshes Ach on the one hand and the other Arayos have us thinking in two directions. Right? One is, maybe Eshes Ach, right, isn't just Dechuya, it's just a totally different concept. That's A, we'll be getting back to that. B, we should be open or flexible in our thinking about why it is that Erva, right, is not subject to Yibum, and a little more sympathetic maybe to some of the Havaminas in the Gemara, even though they're only Havaminas mostly, that maybe in theory some Ervas would be Nitka Mishum Yibum. And if not, why not? Okay. So this is what we need to look at. Now, the again, in our brief Akdama, I already mentioned that Yevamos is the beginning of Seder Nashim, and that the beginning of Yevamos itself is this Mishnah, Chamesh Esrei Nashim, Potros Tzoroseim, Potros Tzoroseim, and Achalitza, Umre Yivam Atzof HaOlam. So it's a strange kind of a thing that we begin Seder Nashim with Yevamos, and that we begin Yevamos with not cases of Yibum, but cases where Yibum doesn't work. Why do we begin with the exceptions and not with the rules? So we already mentioned that the Tosishanim deals with part of this problem, why Yevamos is the beginning of Seder Nashim. And one of his answers, Dafka, is, turns the one of the questions into, not a question, but part of the answer. Right? The Tosishanim here in the beginning, Yesh Makshu, Amai Matkul Seder Nashim, Bivamos, Dartuli Parusa, Lo Matkali. Now, we discussed most of it already. But the second answer that he gives is Inami, if you see the little O's base in the Tosis Shonim on the left side, Inami Mefarish Tchila Eza Isha Asura, the Eza Isha Muteres, Mahada Mefarish Kulamili Dinashim. The second answer is we begin Dafka because Yevamos begins with Arayos. And Yevamos is the Masechta that chronicles Arayos, the last parak of Kiddushin, but even more so, Masechet Yevamos defines Isurei Erva. So instead of being a problem, which is the way I raise it, how come Yevamos begins with exceptions? How come Seder Nashim begins with Isurim rather than Mitzvos and Kiyumim? Right? Tos Hashem think that's the place to begin. So what does he mean by that? So again, on the most pragmatic level, he might simply mean that, you know, you have to know what not to do And that's as important, or in one sense, that's more basic. You know, before you start finding out, you know, the details of the mitzvah, you have to know what the surim are and what to avoid. If that's all it means, that's a good, it's fine, good answer. I have no objections to it. And surim ei rav yaseh tov. Yeah, surim ei rav yaseh tov. However, what I'd like to suggest, I don't know if this is true for the Tosi Yashanim, but I think, you know, it's true often for other surim ei ravs, the yaseh tovs, and that is that there's something more fundamental going on here in all of this. And that is based on the idea that we find in the Nusach of the Birchas Eirusin. As you know, the what do we say in the Birchas Eirusin? But Asher Kedshanu B'Mitzvasav V'Tzivanu Al Ha'arayos. Right? Then, even that's true, if that's true, then V'Asar Lanu Asarusas, and then V'Hitir Lanu Sanesu Aslanu Al Yidei Chupa V'Kiddushin. So, this is a strange way to begin a bracha, no, under the chuppah, as we know. The Rosh in Ksuvus, this is also very well known, is of the opinion that Kiddushin is not a mitzvah b'fnei atzma, it's a hechsher mitzvah per period for period v'rivya. The real mitzvah is period v'rivya. If you want to accomplish period v'rivya b'heter, right, then you need the framework of Kiddushin. But there's no separate mitzvah of Kiddushin other than the fact that it allows for, right, it provides the heter environment for period of Arivi. That's the view of the Rosh. One of the Rosh is trying to explain when you make the Birchas Ha'erisin, and he tries to prove it by the length, complexity, and content, surprising content of the Birchas Ha'erisin. And he starts off exactly this going, why, if we're making a bracha on the mitzvah of Kiddushin, why do we say Vitzivanu Al Horayos? And then the next thing, Mori Surim, right, V'asar, a little closer to home, V'asar Lanu Asarusos. Only then, the Hitit Lanu Asanesuos, Aide Chuba Vikir. Why such a long bracha, not simply Asher Kedushanu B'tzosah Vitzivanu L'kadish Asa'isha, A? And B, why all the negativity? Right? Why all the complexity, the multi-themes, the negativity, etc. So the Rosh says...
That's what the Rebbe explained, that that's what led to the religion. When you get married, you have to realize there are a lot of Yisurim that are full on to the person.
Oh, very good. Exactly. Because that's what I want to get to. I haven't changed my mind. I'm just trying to relate that to the beginning of the Rosh. 100%. So what I'm saying is the Rosh uses this Zariah against the Rambam Udime to try to show that this is a birchas shevach v'hodah, not a birchas mitzvah. It doesn't sound like a birchas mitzvah, and consequently, it should be said after the wedding, and so on. What do the Rambam Udimei do with this very long, complex, and seemingly negative bracha? If they really hold this a birchas mitzvah, and they do, right? The Rambam in the Paragil of Asisha says explicitly it's a birchas mitzvah. He says the chasim should make the bracha, it should be overlaid the yasam, right? Again, we're not knowing that the chasim makes it, but we do treat it as a birchas mitzvah, and it's not the shekhet shomtzos instead of the kaddish asisha. So exactly, I have this explanation that which I believe very strongly in, which is that it isn't, you shouldn't be looking at this as negativity. On the contrary, what we're saying is kiddushin ishus is a davar shebe kiddusha. And the fact that it's a davar shebe kedusha is highlighted by the limits. The fact that there is v'tzivanu el ha'arayos, and that there's kedusha. Kedusha means precious. Kedusha means this is asur and this is mutter. It's in the contrast. The fact that we have high standards, if you will, that we say no, that we exclude certain relationships from marriage, highlights the fact that marriage itself is a very ambitious spiritual institution. And that's the point. So what I like to say it is, this long and complex and seemingly, you know, negative bracha, when understood properly, is the best succinct, actually, instead of being long, it succinctly captures and crystallizes the uniqueness of Jewish marriage, Kiddusha Seishas. It's Ivano al Arayos, Vasa Lanu Asarusos, and only then, Vihitir Lanu Sanesu Aslanu, Ayidei Chuppah V'Kiddushin. And of course, the Siyum HaBracha, Mekadesh Yisrael, or different Rishonim, or Mekadesh Yisrael Ayidei Chuppah V'Kiddushin. Meaning emphasizing Kiddushas Yisrael. So I think it's perfect, it fits in perfectly with this. Right? So the Tos Yishanim says, we begin Nashim, Seder Nashim, with Yevamos, which identifies and spends more time than any other Nesechta on the Arayos. And, I'm just adding to this now, we begin Masechet Yevamos, which is primarily about the mitzvah of Yibum v'Chalitza, also with the cases where there's no Yibum, because you can often, right, it's often more instructive, when you want to, just, you want to characterize a particular mitzvah, it's often more instructive to know what the limits are, what's out of bounds, than it is to know what to do or what is effective. Obviously, one, in context of the other, gives you the full picture. So we begin by establishing that while l'hakim l'achiv shem b'Yisrael, whatever that means, we touched on it a little bit in the Hakdama, right, different perspectives, while l'hakim l'achiv shem b'Yisrael is very important, right, nonetheless, it doesn't override arayos. So now, if this is true, so there are now two ways to look at them. And they're not mutually exclusive. It could be that both are correct. But we're going to be looking at them as two perspectives. Like one way is, there's this mitzvah, but it has its limits. Meaning, there's imperative A, and there's prohibition B. And any time you have a clash between those two things, you have to exercise halachic, you know, protocols and wisdom. And have rules that tell you, what do you do? Especially the rules of Aseh, Docha, Los Aseh. And you plug them in, and one perspective, the narrower perspective, which I'm not saying is wrong, Chas V'Shalom, it's definitely part, it's many Shakra Vitalias, and it's the view of many Rishonim. That what I call the narrower view is that the imperative, right, and the prohibition are per se nothing to do with each other. But the question is, you know, there's one is a din in Ilchus Arayos, and the other is a din in Ilchus Yibum. But the question is, Lamaisa, what are you going to do when one, right, or the other, when you have to choose? And in that sense, there's an interaction between the two. However, what I'm suggesting in light of my Hagdama, and the way I'm certainly expanding Tosfos Yishanim, right, what I was just saying a second ago, is that there might be a second element, not to exclude the first, but to go significantly beyond that. And that is, instead of looking at the mitzvah of Yibum on the one side, and what it comes up against, right, the Isurim, the Erebas, whatever the case may be, on the other side, and instead of looking at them as, you know, just two different halachic forces that have nothing to do with each other, instead of looking at it that way, maybe we should be looking at all of this from a much more internal perspective. Namely, instead of seeing Yibum as just the chiyuv l'hakim l'achiv shem b'Yisrael narrowly, we should see Yibum against the part of our Hakdama, but the pasuk is very fascinating, right? It's Yevamo, Yavo Aleha, Ulekachala L'Isha V'Yibma. Right, a packed pasuk. We spoke about it already. Right, and we talked then already about the two interpretations of the Rishonim. Right, one of which is, you know, what is the relationship between, you know, Yavama and Yavo Aleha, right, and the Yibma. So one perspective is, even though she's your sister-in-law, as fast as possible, make her not your sister-in-law, but your wife. And the other perspective, which says, she's your sister-in-law, and in the context of your brother, right, leaving no heirs, right, no continuity, so as a sister-in-law, she should become your wife. Meaning, if you look at, this goes back to our Hakdama, if you look at Yibum, right, as an overriding obligation, but one which breaks rules and steps on or tramples upon the normal dinim of Isurei Bia, so then you're going to take what I call this narrower approach and more of a dechuya orientation, right? You're going to be saying, let's weigh, right, and measure, right, the mitzvah keneged the isur, right, that apply the rules of Asa Dokolos Lase or whatever other rules are applicable, and see what we can do. But if you look at it as, right, Yivama, Yavo Aleho, Lekachalo, Leisha, V'yibma, there's something called Kiddushin, right, that's one kind of Ishus. And then there's an Ishus of Yibum. Yibum is a form of Ishus. That's my suggested explanation why Yivamos begins Seder Nashim. Not because it's an exception to the rules of Ishus, but because, understood in this broader way, right, it highlights Achrayos, Kieshu, Achim, Yachtav, and the theme of Mishpacha, right, only Achim, Minahav, Mishpacha Sa'av, Kriya Mishpacha, Mishpacha Sa'im, Lo Kriya Mishpacha. It's all about family responsibility, right, even after the Niftar is no longer there, but you still have your brother, so responsibilities to him, you still have responsibilities to his wife. That relationship or those interconnections, they endure, you know, past people's life. What greater reflection of Kedushas HaIshus, you know, could there be? That's why Yivamos begins in the Masechta. So if that's really true, so then a way to look at the beginning also isn't just that you need to know what to avoid. Sur Meirah. It's a Sur Meirah which highlights what Yivam was about. So understanding that Eishas Ach, right, isn't perhaps just Dechuya, but it's a form of Ishus. It's not just breaking the rules. It's its own narrow corner, but a very critical corner, right, which illuminates the rest of Hilchos Ishus, right? Understanding that well will also explain why we should be very, just as adamant, when there isn't a Kiyum Ishus, Shel Kedusha, right, in denying Yibum in a case where there's Erva, which would compromise that Kedusha Sa'ishus. But then you might get in situations, even, or might be able to justify situations, I'm thinking ahead, but we're getting to this, where even, would it be possible even that the rules, even occasionally, that the rules of clashes, in other words, ase, dochalos ase, maybe even, if you can justify, technically, ase, dochalos ase, or something like that, is it still possible that it will impose limits on Yibum because it won't be a Yibum Shel Kedusha? Or that there will be more than one form of Yibum and that there'll be Nafkamina? There'll be a Mitzvah of Yibum, there'll be a Kinyan of Yibum, and maybe these will be two different models of Yibum? So these are things we want to look for. So what I'm suggesting is that the beginning of the Masechta, and maybe the beginning of Moed, isn't just about the clash between the mitzvah of Yibum and Erva. It also can be looked at as a foundation for understanding Erva, I'm sorry, assigning Yibum as a form of Ishus, and therefore something that has to fit in with the regular dinim of Yisurei Erva. Okay. Any questions? Or? Okay. So having said that, so let's examine. Let me just highlight this in one more way very, very quickly, and then let's examine the Mishnah and the beginning of the Gemara, and we'll start framing some of these questions. It's just interesting to note that the first Tosas already zeroes in on the word or the expression Erva. Right? The Mishnah says, Chamesh Asrei Nashim Potros Tzoroseim V'Tzoros Tzoroseim Minachalitza Minayibum Atzofolim. I'll explain that in just a minute. The word Erva does not appear in this Mishnah. Right? This is Nashim. There are 15 categories of Nashim. If you look at the Nashim, they're all, well, just look at them for 1 minute. Elohim, what are they? Bito, his daughter. Bas Bito, his granddaughter. Bas Bino, granddaughter from the son. Right? Bas Ishto, that's his stepdaughter. Right? Bas Bino, granddaughter. Bas Bita, step granddaughter also, right? Chamoso, his mother-in-law. Im Chamoso, grandmother-in-law. Im Chamiv, grandmother-in-law. Right? Achoso Meimo, his aunt. Right? Achos Imo, Achos Ishto, his sister-in-law. That's very important. Achos Ishto, we'll get that in a minute. Eshes Achiv, right? Meimo, not Meaviv. That's That's a situation where there's no Yibum, meaning his sister-in-law, the wife of his brother from his mother's side, there'll never be Yibum there. Right? Eishes Achim Shelo Yabalam. That, of course, is a tricky one. Or the sister-in-law from his father's side, but where the brother, his brother, right, did not, was not born while the older brother was born. This brother was born after the older brother died. Or Kalasso is the last one. Kalasso is his daughter-in-law. Sare Elu Potros Tzoroseyan. The Tzoroseyan will explain what that means in a minute. Mina Chalitza Mina Yibum Ad Sof Ha'ola. That's the Mishnah. Oh. If you look at the Mishnah later on, the Mishnah on Chav Amud Aleph, we'll get back to it in a minute also, but we'll look at it for a minute. Mishnah Chav Amud Aleph says, Klal Omer B'Yibama. There's a principle with regard to Yibama. Kol Shehi Isur Erba. Right? If we're talking about the prohibition of arayos, erva, lo chaletzes v'lo misyabenes. There's neither chalitza nor is there yibum. As opposed to iser mitzvah, the iser kedusha, which the Gemara explains later on, one may be drabanon, and the other is kaidei lavin, probably. Right? Iser mitzvah and iser kedusha, which are not arayos, but they're just lavin. Chaletzes v'lo misyabenes. They have this chalitza, but this is what we call a zika. The woman is attached, she's connected to her brother-in-law or brother-in-law, as the case may be, but there's no possibility of even only chalitza. We'll discuss later on whether this is d'oraisa or d'rabban. Okay, we'll get back to this Mishnah anyway. So here the Mishnah says explicitly that klal omer b'yibama kol shehi iser erva lo chaletzes v'lo misyabenes. The phrase erva is used to explain the p'tur, right, in the cases of the Mishnah on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. The second Mishnah, the first parak, also uses the expression erva. Mishnah Yud Gimel Amud Aleph says Sheish Arayos Chamuros Me'elu. This is the continuation of the Mishnah on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. And the Mishnah says Sheish Arayos are six Arayos Chamuros Me'elu, which are even more severe than the 15 that are counted in our Mishnah, right? Mipnei shevesuos la'acherim, because they are not cases of, we're not talking about a case where they're also a sister-in-law, but rather some as a women who are married to other people. Sorosei mutaros. Okay, we'll explain that. Imo, eishes aviv, achos aviv, achos, achos ame'aviv, eishes acheyaviv, eishes achid me'aviv, etc. Okay. So this second Mishnah also speaks the language of erva as a continuation of the first. It says, Sheish Arayos Chamuros Me'elu. So the Mishnah Daf Chaf, alluding to the Mishnah Daf Beis, right, speaks about the Ptur erva, and the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph also, in its continuation, seems to allude to the first ones as erva. And yet, it's interesting, that the Mishnah doesn't say erva, it says nashim. So Tosus and the Tosus Rid and a few other Rishonim were bothered by this question here on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. First Tosus chamesh esrei nashim potros. Right, it's top Tosus. Tosus says amari delamatzi lemintkat arayos kidekatani b'seifa. Achas mikolo arayos elu, sheish arayos chamuros me'elu, mishum darmin b'gemara, minyan asalamute tzoras sota v'tzoras islandis, umimaenes umachzir grushoso, v'yavetani arayos, havimashur lamute arayos, delokokoshiv kasi. So Tosis asks the question, he doesn't use the words, hiksha or vimtoma, but implicitly Tosis is asking this question. Tosis is basically saying, how come we don't use the phrase arayos like the Mishnah Daf Chaf and the Mishnah and Daf Yud Gimel, both of which are alluding to this Mishnah? If the Ptur is connected to arayos, then why don't we just say Chamesh Esrei arayos potros tzorosei? The Tosis is a technical answer, but the Gemara wants to be mamayit from this number It wants to refer to some other cases which aren't necessarily arayos. Right? Tsaras mima'enes. Mima'enes is, you know, if the brother or the mother married off, a child, ktana. So she has the right of refusal when she reaches of age. That's called nima'enes, or tsaras ilimis. Right? If somebody who... She's somebody who doesn't have the, you know, who physically doesn't have the capability of having children. She doesn't have simone, ishus, right? So the Gemara derives the status of tsaras islandess. Now, let's say one of the wives of the brother was an islandess. One of the wives of the brother was a mima'enes. So what's the status of the rival wives? We'll get that in just a minute. So Tos basically says, because of those miutim in the Gemara, right, the Mishnah wanted to be more flexible and didn't want to specifically refer to arayos. The Tosfos Rid gives a different answer. Tosfos Rid says the Mishnah, at least this first Mishnah, is written from the perspective of the mace and not from the perspective of the chai. Meaning the brother was married to this woman or these women. Right? Legitimately. She was his wife, they were his wives. They weren't arayos to him. Right? Now, in the context of Ibum, they are arayos to the brother. So the Tosfos Rid says, for that reason, the Mishnah uses the expression nashim. Why is that an important Tosfos Rid? That's not exactly, it could be interpreted as a technical answer. I think there's more to it than that. Part of the issue, as we raised in our Hagdama, is to try to figure out whether or not, to what extent, in other words, Yibum is a continuation of the previous marriage, right? To what extent is at least the Erison of the previous marriage, different ways to say it, but some sort of continuity to the previous marriage, or the previous marriage is the context. Right, but there's no sense that we're really continuing that marriage because she was the wife of my brother, because she was my sister-in-law now, right? Some of the dinim are different and I'm obligated to marry her and to marry her in a different way and so on. But there's really no extension of that previous marriage. The idea that Tosfos Rid, which is that the status, even vis-a-vis the Yavam, is portrayed in this Mishnah, right, from the perspective of the mace rather than the yavam, right, becomes an important point. Right, something along the idea that this is a continuation of the mace continues as not only a context, but as a continuing, I wouldn't say a living presence, because that's not true, but a continuing presence in this day. But what I wanted to highlight in terms of the question is, so is this just a linguistic question? Maybe. Or, in light of the two perspectives which I'm suggesting, there's something important symbolically about the phrase erva. Is the issue in the Mishnah only the question of the imperative of Yibum, right, versus the counter pressure of whatever Yisurim we're encountering? And it's, again, it's going to be all about Asei, Doche, Losase, and those Klalim, or Tzeresakasus, etc. In which case, whether you call it Arayos or Isurim, it doesn't really make a difference. But, if we take the second perspective, which is that this din, that Ein Yibum Be'erva, or Barayos, and not just Ein Yibum, but it's Poter Tzoroseim, the Tzoroseim Adola, which I'll explain in just a minute. If we say that this has to do with the nature of, it's not just the impediment to Yibum. It's also about how we characterize internally what Yibum is. In other words, if Yibum is just Lahakim Lachit Shem, and it's a targeted, narrow mitzvah, so fine, you just treat it as if it's an Aseh Docha Lo Saseh issue, Mitzvah of Yad Self. You don't have to call it erva. It's beside the point. The question is it chai v'krisus? Unless that's just a short form saying chai v'krisus. But if the point is that we're talking about Ishus Shel Yibum. And Ishus Shel Yibum, right, is incompatible, right, with certain Isurim. It's a very big Kiddush to say that Eshes Ach is ever going to be a real Ishus Shel Kedusha, as opposed to simply a narrow He of Lahakim Lahakim Shem Yisrael. But if you're going to say that Kiddush, right, then you're going to understand better why there are going to be limits. You're not going to say it isn't just Eshes Ach, but it's also Kalosso or Bito or Chaniv, you know, etc. So then, the use of the phrase Erva, not merely to, you know, to represent, you know, a certain level of Onesh, you know, and a certain impediment, you know, for Asa being Docha, but to kind of explain why this is an internal wall becomes very important. So the question isn't just a linguistic one, it's a real one. Then, if that's true, we might want to keep our eyes open. Is there such a thing as an erva without chayvei krisus? Or the other direction, right? What about something which is not really an erva, but there is chayvei krisus? So we'll be discussing those cases, just to whet your appetite. Nida is, of course, one issue. Tosfos here discusses this problem. I'm not going to read the Tosfos now because we'll get back to it. The bottom Tosfos on Beis Amidala, if you just look for a second, Yaakos Ishto. Tosfos says, Ein lahakshos de nida tiaser liyava. Right, that's a fascinating question in Tosfos in the Rishon. Namely, a nida, an isha nida, is chayvei krisus. Now, what about applying the din of Aseh Dochalos Aseh Shesh, Ein Aseh Dochalos Aseh Shesh Bokaris? So part of Tosfos' discussion is, well, do you define Yibum by the moment of the Misa, right? Let's say there's a predictable period, right, where there'll be no Chayvei Krisus. Right? The status of Nida comes and goes, right? At least it's Biyada to make it come and go, you know, at a certain point. So that would be its one situation. Of course, is Nida Erev or not? We discussed a little bit last year in the context of the Ari Vayabar. So that's one example. We'll have it also in the opposite direction. Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion, the Mishnah later on in Yivamos, and it's drawn from the Sechta, Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion that Chai De Lavin are not Tofes Kedusha. As we paskin, that Chai De Krisus is no Tofes Kedusha. Chai De Lavin, let's say Grusha Lekoen, Mamzer, these are chayvei lavin, they're not chayvei krisus. So we paskin that chayvei lavin, kedushin is topes. Is a lav, is an iser, but the kedushin is chal. She's an eshes ish. Good. Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion that there's no tefisas kedushin in chayvei lavin. We're of the opinion that mostly a illicit relationship on the level of chayvei krisus, where there's no tefisas kedushin, mostly only that kind of relationship produces a mamzer. Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion that Chai De Lavin, where there's no Tisus Kedushin, produces a mamzer. Ah. So the question is, when it comes to the matter of Erva, and the din that Erva is not subject to Yibum, what about Rabbi Akiva? What about Chai De Lavin for Rabbi Akiva? The evidence, this is the Tosfos later on, we'll be discussing it in the next few weeks. I'll show you where it is now, just for a second. But this is Tosfos' question. Tosfos leads into Torah Hiyun, very famous Tosfos. And we've shown them all discuss it. Tosfos on yeah, test them out. When I said, it's really in the wrong, the bottom here. Hare Iser Mitzvah, Tosfos on test them out. Tosfos, B'chol Duchti, Pshita Leila Shas, B'chai Leilav, and the Rabbi Akiva, Domrei, Kedushin Tosfos, B'chai Leilav, and Lav, B'nei Chalitza, V'yibum, Nenu. Kamo Chai Leilav, Krisus. Hacha, Ubaharel, the Tamilari, Amai Lo Amina, Nami Rabbi Akiva, Leisi Asei, Vilidchi, Lo Sase. Tosfos doesn't answer the question. What's the question? Rabbi Akiva holds that Chayvei Lavin for many dinim are treated like Chayvei Krisus for us, for Mamzer, for Tisus Kiddushin, and it seems also for the Ptur of Yibum. If you're Chayvei Lavin, according to Rabbi Akiva, it seems that there's no Yibum. But the question is why? After all, the Gemara will explain that the rule of Ase Dochalos Ase, right, seems to apply. The only thing is that when it comes to Chayvei Krisus, it's Ase Dochalos Ase Sheesh Bakares, and that it can't do. But Rabbi Kiva would seem to be the perfect litmus test, because you have Ase Dochalos Ase without a Chayvei Krisus, so it should be Docha. And yet, for him, it's Mamzer, it's no Tfisas Kiddushin, and there's no Yibum either. So, how do you explain that? Tosfos doesn't answer, the other Rishonim do answer, and they give different types of answers, so we'll be getting back to that. Or, as we'll discuss, hopefully next week when we some of these things in more detail, the Gemara Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, right, goes through an interesting Shaka Vitaria, and the Sifrei, and the Yerushalmi have their own parallels, right? In the other direction, the Gemara Zahav Amina, the Chayvei Lavin, even though Ase is no Chalos Ase, nonetheless, not Rabbi Kiva, for the Chachamim, even though there's Tfisas Kiddushin, maybe there's no Yibum, not Torah, the Gemara seems to conclude that it's incorrect. But the idea that you wouldn't apply Ase to Chalos Ase just because something is Chayvei Lavin, normally it works, right? Why would Yibum be different? The Gemara also has a Havamina that even if Ase Eina Docha Lo Sase Sheish Bakares, maybe Yibum is different. The opposite. What I'm trying to show is mostly it seems that we follow the normal rules of pressure and counter-pressure, Ase Dochalos Ase. However, it's possible to isolate certain cases, Lekula and Lechumra, where we don't seem to be completely aligned with those rules. So if you take the perspective that the Arayos and the Yibum have nothing to do with each other, basically Yibum is a Chiyuv, Nero Chiyuv, Lachim Lachim, Shem B'Yisrael, and it comes up against an obstacle the same way that Shabbos comes up against the Karbanos or Pikuach Nefesh or Bris Milah and so on. And the question is simply, how do you resolve halachic tensions? How do you establish halachic priority? So then the rules should prevail, all things being equal, the Kula and the Chumra. But if the idea is that Yibum is a form of Ishus, it's a davar shebekedusha if done properly, right? So then you have to be really careful to make sure that instead of being erva, that this is kedushas Ishus. So then you still might be governed, directed by the normal rules, because those rules surely are relevant to establishing what's a clash, what's not a clash, in the context of this having greater priority, maybe that's not considered error, but that's one way to look at it. But we can also understand the Kula the Chumra, we might want to move outside of those rules. We might want to say, technically, you could be Doche here, but that wouldn't be Yibum, because Yibum's a Dover Shemekdusha. In Mashem Ma'adover Dome, the famous position of Abba Shaul. What is Abishol? We'll get into Gemara quotes on it, Gimel Amud Aleph. Abishol is of the opinion, and later on in the Tesla days, the Gemara discusses it more fully. Just a second. We'll be able to read it in a minute. The Gemara at the bottom says, Inali mina chalitza mechuda Abisholi, from a mitzvah chalitza kodam is a mitzvah sibum. If you look on Lama Tesla days, that's at the bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph. But if you look at Lamed Tesla Beis, you'll see a much fuller exposition of this. Abba Shaul was of the opinion Here, you have the two dots here. Towards the bottom of the page. Four lines into the wide lines. Everybody have it? You say, Barishona Shayu Miskabnim L'Shei Mitzvah. Mitzvah Yibum Kodemes L'Mitzvah Chalitza. This is part of the question. What is preferred? Yibum or Chalitza? So the Gemara says, Barishona Miskabnim L'Shei. In the olden days, you know, when everybody was, you know, practically perfect, or at least they knew what they were, you know, doing, you know, it was perfect, but the people, I guess, had a clearer sense of these, some of these things. So mitzvah sibum was kodemus and mitzvah chalitz. Achshav, she'ein miskavnim l'shem mitzvah, where it's more difficult to ensure a proper kavana, this is Abu Shaul's view, mitzvah chalitz kodemus and mitzvah sibum. It's better to do chalitz, play it safe, than to do yibum. Okay? What does it mean? Anyways, but, you know, things got better, not worse. You know, how could it be? So the Gemara says, no. Because some of the Kabbashol, the Sok Samadakar changed his mind, he doesn't hold like Kabbashol, he'll take the Rabban. What is Kabbashol really? The Tanya. Kabbashol Omer, Hakonet Sivinto, L'Shem Noah. Right? We have a Yibum situation. And he says, oh, she's, a good-looking person. Well, Shem Ishus. Not Shem Ishus. Shem, no, you could say, he should have other kavanas. Also, not that there are worse things, probably, but, you know, it's only in the world that we live. Well, Shem Ishus. It's all the Shem Ishus. Right? Well, Shem Dabar Acher. Ki'ilu, exactly. Pogeya. Be'erv. Very strong formulation. But Karavani Beina, we don't exactly know what these words mean. Hopefully we'll discuss Abishol more. I mean, specific, does he mean it or doesn't he mean it? Now, but Karavani Beina, Elios Havlad Mamzer. Wow. That's amazing. Well, you can see why he opted for Chalitza Kodemus. He wanted to play around with that. But does he really mean it? Or so what Kavana should you have? L'Shem Yibum. Even as distinct from L'Shem Ishus. Now, Rebbeinu Tam says we paskin like Abishol. Most Rishonim say we don't. What I want to just highlight is Abishol felt that Yibum was straddling the fence. It's a kind of an erva. Even if you think of it, the Shem Ishus, it's kilu pogeya be'erva, kilu pogeya b'mamzer, because Ishus ach is erva. You got to think of it as a kiyum Ishus of Yibum. And therefore, if we can't rely on you to have that kind of integrity and acuity and sensitivity, then better play it safe with Chalitza. Even though he fundamentally believes Yibum to be better than Chalitza like the Chachamim. Now, of course, every time we even paskin like Abishol, wow, but most Rishonim say we don't. But the point I'm trying to make is, even if we don't paskin like Abishol, right? Mida Abishol a little bit, maybe, Nishma L'Rabban, meaning, you could say Abishol is completely rejected because all Yibum really is the Hakam Achiv Shem B'Yisrael. It's a narrow din, it's a narrow chiyuv. We don't have any presumption about Kiddushas Ishus here, despite the fact that this is normally an erva and a violation and an exception to Dinei Ishus. Right? Nonetheless, L'Hakam L'Hakam Shem is Doche. They were rejecting Abishol completely. What I'm suggesting is, no, maybe not. We don't like Abishol. It's fine to have Yibum L'Shem Noi and Yibum L'Shem, or at least it doesn't possible it. But the idea that Yibum is supposed to be a Dover Shabbat, Kedushas Ishus Shel Yibum, right? He's more expansive and more flexible about how that's accomplished, or what we mean, by that. But the idea that this is a form of Ishus, and therefore it has to have that, there are certain limits, that's something that we do accept from Abishol. Yeah.
From the Torah, Yehuda's son Onan.
Yeah.
Didn't have that kavana. So isn't that a makar?
Well, Onan died. I mean, he was a failed. I mean, we don't want to bring a proof from Onan. Yeah. Maybe that's why. I mean, that's the point.
I mean, his lashava wouldn't fit in.
100%. But what makes us think that Onan was a good? Meaning, how did his father allow? The father thought. I think we already pointed. I'm not sure if we spoke about that or not. Have different views to understand whether Tamar really was married to Er or just Yehuda thought she was. Meaning, whether they ever consummated the marriage in a conventional way. There are all sorts of things, but you're absolutely right. But Chazal's view of Onan, Torah Shabbat's view of Onan, also Rabbein and Hashem. And he died. Why? Because his Yibum wasn't the Yibum. It was a Maisa Erba. I'm saying, it's not like he had a good Yibum and then Nebuch something else, he got run over by a milk truck. Right? He died because of his improper behavior.
Well, that's the source of it.
Well, actually, you never have Yibum. What does Rashi say? I never consummated.
No, that's what I'm saying before. Er never consummated the marriage. Yeah, so that's the question. Is that for Ben Noach at least? The Gemara seems to say in Sanhedrin that for Ben Noach, that's not Ishus. And consequently, so there's the whole group of Rishonim, Bali Tosas Ala Torah, it's implicit in some Rashis, that maybe, never mind Onan, Er was not really married to Tamar. How come Yehuda said to Onan, be miyabim Tamar?
Right.
So the Ramban explains, and others, some Bali Tos explains it, Yehuda thought he had, his children were, he didn't know what was going on. I mean, these are very private things. He thought that his children were, behaving in proper halachic manner, and he was wrong. He didn't know what was going on with his children. A terrible thing. But so he thought that there should be Yibum because he thought that Onan was the proper husband of, I'm sorry, the heir, was the proper husband of Tamar. He also thought that Onan was a fine fellow, who would do a proper Yibum. I mean, again, your question's in place in the sense of, was it because, why exactly Hashvasa Zera Levatala, or was it the Yibum Shel Erva? Or there was no. There are all sorts of, I'm just saying. We also don't know the other thing, which is I don't remember how much of this we discussed because we only had two shiurim. But the question also is whether Yibum pre Matan Torah wasn't somewhat different than Yibum. Maybe we'll discuss that here a little bit also when we get back to it because it's connected to that. Yibum post Matan Torah. And I think if so, maybe exactly in this respect. Namely, Yibum pre Matan Torah may have been more focused on the goal of Lahakim Zera. And even post-Matan Torah has that component for sure, but it's also a broader Ishus Mishpacha idea. So I think both of those things are true.
Did you say that Abishol, that it's a narrow view of Eschidokolos?
No. What I'm saying, for everybody, it's a Bifolos side. What I'm saying is that Abishol sees Yibum not just in terms of the result of Lahakim Lachashem. He sees it as a form of Kedushas Ishus, which requires a very rigorous, kavana. And the difference between Erva and Mamzer, right, and Yibum and Mitzvah, for Abishol, is not the relationships, not even the Maisim, it's a kavana. That's an amazing thing.
Why can't you say it's Esi Dokal Asas what is on the essay that he has to be coupled to the essay?
Right.
To only
There's no din that Esi Dokal Asas requires, a proper kavana on the essay necessarily. Maybe. I mean, it could be. But I'm saying, as far as we know, I mean, it's not an essay otherwise.
That's what he held.
Maybe.
So why not put the stock edition on the show? Too?
Not that I'm aware of.
I understand.
But why? No, because Yibum, by definition, you're coming in, you're taking an arayis and you need to turn it into a davar shem kedusha. Ishus, stam ishus, is...
I don't think it's new, I'm making glass of the one.
fine. But, you know, we'll assume that your kabbalah is so good. You don't have to work so hard, is what I'm saying. Here you have to overcome what is arayos in the context of... This is an exception.
Correct.
I mean, it works nicely with that language. Well, I'm saying, I'm suggesting that Abba Shaul is, I don't know one way or another about that point. We'll get to there's a mission later on. I get it. The mission later on in Nafnun Gimel, if you wanted to see. In the beginning of the sixth parash, in the beginning of the sixth parash, the Mishnah and the Gemara elaborating seems to say that there's no din of kavana in Yibum. Right, Abal Yivemto Ben Shogeg Ben Ezer Ben Onus Ben Ratzon Afilu Hu Shogeg Vehi Mezi Vehu Mezi Vehi Shogeges Hu Onus Hi Lo Onusa Hi Onusa Hu Lo Onus. You get the picture, right? So the Ramban points out, and the Milchas Chinuch separately points out, obviously that Abba Shaul is incompatible with this mission, right? So is this a general din in Abba Shaul Kavana? I mean, if we find that you require, I don't think so. It sounds to me, and this is what I was trying to explain a second ago, Yibum, is a particularly difficult. I think it highlights the challenge of taking Yibum and transforming it into Isha Shal Kedusha. And what I'm saying is, even if you don't paskin like Abba Shaul, which Rabbeinu Tam wants to paskin.
Rabbeinu Tam learns this mission.
What?
After two, commonly in this mission.
Which one?
There's six
parish. I'm saying, you probably have to say that mission is against Abba Shaul. I mean, how do you explain that all missions against how we fast? But if you look, it's Tosis on Lamed Tess of the base. That's where Ben Tam says he passes like Abba Shaul. But the point is that it highlights, even if you don't pass like Abba Shaul, that's an extreme. What I'm suggesting is that there's this approach. Now, this can be what, since I just want to make a little more headway. So let's just understand what the Mishnah is really saying here and take it a step further. Because part of what I want to investigate is so I'm basically interested in figuring out what is the nature of the Ptur Erba and Yibum based on these two perspectives. Investigating cases where, from an Asay Dochalos Asay type perspective, we should either be more Mekel or more Machmer, and we're not, if we find that. And whether or not this is a din in Ishus Shel Yibum. So the first thing to note is that the Mishnah, is packed with information, even right in the beginning. Right, Chameshis is a long Mishnah, but even before you get to the long part of it, just the first sentence is Chameshis Reinashim Potros. Right, number one, there's a Ptur, as we discussed. The Ptur is not limited only to the Arab. Right, it applies also to tzaraseim. What are tzaraseim? Again, in the olden days, the person could marry more than one wife. So let's say the brother who had no children, let's say he had three wives. Right, no connection, but he had three wives. One of the three wives is the mother-in-law, right, of this brother who's now the yavam. So he dies. Now there's the yavam. The prospective Yavan, three wives of his brother, right? One of them is his mother-in-law, which is one of the Erevas. So not only can he not be Miyabe Mercholetz her, right? He cannot be Miyabe Mercholetz any of the three. Her rivals, Tzara means her rival, either. The rivals are disqualified together with the Ereva. That's a bit of Tzara. We'll discuss the makor for that in the Gemara in a couple of minutes, or if we don't get to it today, the next week. But that's the din of tzara. Now, Beis Shammai later on, in the Mishnah later on, Beis Shammai disagrees. Beis Shammai says, listen, the erva is pater mi'ibum is fine, but why the tzara? There's no iser. I mean, the other two wives are not connected to him in any way. So why can't he marry them? The fact that one of the three happens to be erva eliminates the other two. So that's the So not what we're saying so far then is that the din of erva as a ptur yibum, right, extends to tzara. Now we'll have to evaluate that. You know, there might be a very simple reason for it, or it might tell us something, you know, either about tzara or about erva. Tzara's erva.
Okay.
But that's, you should know that's an expansion that Beis Shammai disputes. Okay. But it goes even further than that. It's Adsof Ha'olam, which is the din of Tzara's Tzara. Okay? What is Tzara's Tzara? Let's say, the brother number one died. He had three wives. Right? One of the wives is... this guy's the other brother's mother-in-law. The other two, they would have been fine candidates, but now they're excluded because they're tzaras erva. Okay? Ah. Now, one, there's another brother. Okay? So the other brother, who doesn't have a mother-in-law in the lot, of the or in the group, right? So he marries, but he doesn't marry the other brother's mother-in-law, even though he could have. Right, he marries wife number two or wife number three. I'm not ranking them out of Kasashon. They're all equal, you know. But he marries number two or number three. Of course, that's not the only wife he marries. He's got a couple more, right? So he has also three wives. He married the tzara of the first one, right? Again, just don't get caught up with the things. You'll be able to envision it. And he married... and he, or he already was married to two other women. Now, he dies. Very the family is having a very difficult.
He died without children.
We can only laugh because it's so sad. What?
He dies without children.
He dies without children also. Now, the first guy who had the mother-in-law for the first one, so they're out. Now he's now facing, right? The Yibum of the second brother.
Who has three wives,
one of whom is the Tzara of the Erva of the first. So that's the din of Tzara's Tzara at Sofa Ola. Since she was excluded to him at that time, she's always excluded, and she creates Tzaros. Right?
Yeah.
Right? I was waiting for somebody to say that, but I assumed it wasn't going to be the one. What? And I knew it would be him. Exactly. So, Adsofa Olam. Right? So it's not only Tzaras Erva, it's Tzaras Tzara as well. So we need to understand that din, and we'll get back to it. But the point I'm trying to make is Erva's Poter Minayibum. Erva is poter, there's a din of tzaras erva, and there's a din of tzaras tzara. Now again, depending on how you understand them, it's no big deal or it's a big deal. Right? If it's miklut, again, Beis Shammai doesn't think there's even tzaras erva. Just to highlight that it isn't so obvious. Right? And Beis Hillel thinks not only is it tzaras erva, but there's tzaras erva. If this tzaras erva or the tzaras erva is a function of the hafkah of erva, then that's important to our topic. It's saying that not only is erva, because remember, or something like that, or it's just a din, so why should it automatically extend to the tzara's erva or the tzara's tzara, where there's no shemitz of erva? Right? So the scope of the din, of the pitur erva in Yibum for Beis Hillel is growing. It's the pitur directly, it's tzara's erva, and it's tzara's tzara. And we're just not sure whether the expansion from erva to tzaras erva, and then again to tzaras tzara, we're not sure how significantly, is that three, or is it two, or is it one? Understand?
The brother that married his brother's widow.
Let me go a step further. Yeah, so I'm sorry.
The brother that, he said he marries, a third brother marries.
Yeah.
He
what? Yibum. In the context of the Yibum, he was also
the
Yibum.
Even though they're exempt to this brother.
Yeah, it doesn't exempt from the other brother. That far we don't go. Now, right? That's so far. That's what these words mean. Potus tzarasei, mitzaras tzarasei, minachalitza mina Yibum, and so forth. But it says something else. Minachalitza. Why does the erva? That the erva is poter min ha yibum. We understand because that's a ma'isa bia, the erva, And that's that can't be.
That's a package deal.
Why chalitza? Oh, so it's a package deal. So that's what the Gemara says later on. I'm going to read it to you in just 1 minute. The Gemara says it's a package deal, but we need to understand what that means. Is that a function, again, of the scope of the Ptur Erva? Meaning not only is Erva Poter Yibum, it's even Poter Chalitza, even though there's no obvious clash. Or is that because it's always a package deal and there's no such thing as Chalitza B'Li'ibum Darais? We need to understand that, and that also may relate to the nature of the relationship between Yibum and Chalitza. I'll show you where it says that in the Gemara in a minute, but that's the Mishnah says. And that's, again, if you look at the Mishnah of Kaf Amud Aleph, it's also very explicit about that point. Namely, Kal Amar Bivama Kol Shiasar Erba Lo Chalitzas Velo Nisyabemes. Again, if you want to see it in the Gemara, since we're running out of time, I'll just read it in, and I'll give you my final point for today. And that's the Gemara in Gibel Amud Aleph. We'll read this more next time, but the Gemara says, Gemara wants to know about the language of the Mishnah Poteris. My area, this is Gimel Amud Aleph, I'm a little more than halfway through. My area, everybody have that? My area is the Tana Potros. Lishni Osros. Why do you say Potros Tsarasayim? Why don't you say Osros? Because you're not allowed to. It's not just they're exempt. If he would marry them, he would violate the Isra of Eshesach. Eishasach sheyeshlo banim, like a real eishasach. So it's not just exempt; he doesn't have to. He's not allowed to. He's osur. So the Gemara says, "Itana osros havamina osur liyabim, havamichlat scholtza." I might have thought that the yibum you can't do, but the chalitza should be fine. Why should the chalitza be fine? So Rashi says, "Why not?" Right? Havamina osros liyibum says Rashi, the chalitza lo mishtama meacha. Shein isur b'chalitza. You don't violate any isur when you do chalitza. V'avamina b'chal tzcholtzi al korcho shein eishesach me'av b'labarim nifteres b'lo chalitza. Not just you could do chalitza, you should do chalitza because there's a zika here, an unfulfilled zika, one which can't be fulfilled through Yibum, but shouldn't you need the chalitza to free her? Right? Aval b'chal tzcholtza kamash malon. So the Gemara says v'lisni asura lachlotz. Say it more explicitly, Asura Lachlotz. So the Gemara says, because my Kavod, there really isn't an Isur of doing Chalitza, it's meaningless, but it's not Asur. So the Gemara says, Allah Malo, it should be Asur. Midrabanan, because Imata Omer Choletzes, Misyavemes. Right? So you'll think that there's Chalitza, there's Yibum, so Midrabanan, they should have said it's Asur. So the Gemara says, Kim Dibmok of Mitzbahu, Tasira, Tzara v'shlovim bekomitzo shari v'shimachi tani potros. The word potros, I'll get this next time, is to teach you that this special din of tzara applies only in the context of yibum, where there's a mitzvah, and whether there's no mitzvah, there's isra eishes ach. It doesn't apply in other arayos relationships. For example, if I have if my son-in-law, right, not my son-in-law, if somebody's son-in-law, right, is married to an erva, let's say the son-in-law is married to the father-in-law's sister. I'm not sure if you can do that or not. Probably could, right? And two other women, right? And then he divorces them or he dies. So can't the father-in-law marry one of those other women? He can't marry his... What did I say it was?
Sister.
Yeah, that he can't marry, but can't he marry one of the tzaros? He could, for sure. We need to understand why that. So that's why the Gemara says, Mishamaki Tani Potros. Oh. So the Gemara says, My Yuria the Tani Minachalitza Minayibum, Listeni Minayibum Lechud, they just say Minayibum. So the Gemara says, Itani Minayibum, Abba Minamichat Cholza, Yibum Elo Miyama. Because then you wouldn't have known Yibum and Chalitza, because there's nothing, there's no Isur to do Chalitza, and you might think you need Chalitza. Kamashma, kala ola liyibum, ola lechalitza, kol she'ena ola liyibum, ena ola lechalitza. That's the cruel rule, the package, but we need to understand that package. And depending on how far that normally goes, whether there are exceptions, how do we understand them, that will also tell us whether or not Arayos is not just focused on the ase do chalos ase clash, which only applies to Yibum. Maybe it shows there's no Zika. Maybe it shows that it's incompatible with the very notion of Kedushas Isha's Shoyibum. Then the Gemara says, give me one more minute. The Gemara says, the listening mina yibum mina chalitza, inami mina chalitza lakuda. Then you know certainly if you can't even do chalitza, you certainly don't do yibum. So the Gemara says, Abba Sholhi, that's what I wanted to bring up. The Amar mitzvahs chalitza kodemes le mitzvahs yibum. One other point that with this we conclude, that is as follows. So this one line of Mishnah, even before you get to all the numbers of the Arayos, is telling us, Erva, there's no yibum. There is Tsaras Erva, there's Tsaras Tsara Atsov Kala Olam, and it also affects Chalitza. Now again, there are still two ways to interpret all these facts. One is, you know what, it doesn't mean so much. There's no Arayos because you can't justify the Asa Dokolosase or something like it, as we'll see in the Gemara. And the other things just follow from it if you really understand the relationships. Or, not only is Erva a problem of the clash, it reaches out, it's Mafia, the Zika, even vis-a-vis Tsaras Erva, Tsaras Tsara, and Chalitza. One other fact before we adjourn, and that is that this Erva impact also applies Likula in the following case. If you look at the Mishnah on Chaf and Aleph, this says the following. Klal Omru Bivam. See this Mishnah? Kol Shehi Isur Erva. We just said this. Cholatzas Velomis Yavenas. Isur Mitzvah, Isur Kedusha. Cholatzas Velomis Yavenas. We discussed it. We'll get back to it. But then the Mishnah has a very important one. Achosa Shehi Yavemta Cholatzas Omis Yavenas. Ah. What does that cryptic line mean? Achosa, right? Her sister. Shehi Yavemta. Koletas omits yavenas. So Rashi explains, Achosa, shel erva, Gemara explains this, Achosa shel erva, kishihi yavemta, kagon shenaflu shtei achios mishnei achen. Let's say he had two brothers, both of them died without children. And these are all hechatimsis to highlight cases, as we discussed in our Agdama. They're not, hopefully these things don't happen in such a package way to families, but Achosa shel erva, kishihi yavemta, meaning, two brothers died. They're both childless. They were married to two sisters. Each brother was married to a sister. Now, he has two sisters in the queue, right, of two obligations of Yibum. The problem is, that's called Achos Zikukaso. Each one is Achos Zikukaso. So he should be excluded from doing Yibum or Chalitza with either of them because each one is Achos Zikukaso, is the sister of someone not who he's married to, but who he's practically married to, who he has a Zika with. And Achos Zikukaso is Aser. Ah. But what if one of them is also an Erva to him for some other reason? Let's say the two sisters, one of them is his mother-in-law. Or one of them is his daughter-in-law. Not anymore, but in other words. Or one of them is his sister. I guess it couldn't be because it's his brother. Whatever. One of them is one of the Erevas. So the Mishnah says, Ha'achas asura mishim Erva, kigon shi kalaso kamaso, o choletes o misyavemes, achas ha'erva, delo paga ba'achos kukaso, de erva lats kukasai. If one of these sisters, who would normally be disqualified for Yibum, because she's achos kukaso, if one of them also happens to be an Erva, which means she's not a candidate for Yibum, then that's Machshir, the other sister. So what do we see from this Mishnah? That Erva, as a Kula, in this case, is Erva is so Mafkia, the Zika, that it neutralizes a problem. Till now we had Erva as creating problems. Sometimes, that's a good trivia, a quiz thing. Sometimes Erva, right?
Frees up the possibility.
Now again, that would seem to imply that the Erva relationship isn't just a fact in Ase Dukhalos Ase. Maybe it's more than that. Maybe it's Koveya more directly whether or not there is Zika. Why? Maybe again, because Yibum is a form of Ishus, and Ishus is very sensitive to Erev. So we'll continue with this, and we'll go through the Gemaras and the other Rishonim on it next.